The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is believing in the resurrection another way of believing in eternal security? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I can hear you today. This is Bob Wilkin.
Hey,
and
good.
I had some hearing fixed. I'm not going to say why, because yeah. Sean gets
just,
upset if I tell him
gross.
I put peroxide in my ear.
We don't need to talk about it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Now that you can hear, we're going to take your questions on the Bible and theology. I love how our listeners are thinking and they're wrestling with these scriptures, because at the very least, if you're not thinking about your faith, you might believe in you can believe in Jesus and can believe in God, but it's kind of at the background of your mind. But if you have questions, that tells me then Jesus and the Bible and stuff are at the foreground of your mind, and that's, I think, better.
Well, that's exactly right. Every minute of every day, our faith in Christ, our faith in God's Word and what God says, our worldview that the Bible has given us should be influencing all we say and do.
Right, absolutely. Well, here's a question from Martin, and Martin says, I was studying 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14, and it reads that believing in Jesus' death and resurrection is all that's required to be raised out of the grave. However, the scriptures are clear that believing in Jesus for eternal life is correct, such as in John 3:16. So is it correct to say that Paul is talking about what occurs in John 11:23-27? In other words, is believing that Jesus will resurrect you to be with him forever another way of stating eternal security?
So that's a good question.
So basically,
Martin,
is 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14, is it talking about the same thing as Jesus did in John 11?
1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 is probably the strongest passage on the rapture in the New Testament.
Right. And here's what Paul says. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So the situation is they were worried about, well, what happens to the people who died before Jesus comes? They were expecting him to come any day.
Evidently, some of the believers in Thessalonica had died, and they all knew about the rapture, and they believed in the coming millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And there were evidently some concerns that the people who died, that's what falling asleep in verse 13 means, that they somehow would miss out on the millennium.
Right.
Evidently, that was their fear. And it doesn't, this verse is sometimes misused to say we shouldn't grieve over lost loved ones.
Mm.
That's not what it says. It says we don't grieve as those who have no hope.
Yeah.
We don't grieve like the unbeliever grieves, mm-hmm. because we know these people still exist. In fact, since they're believers, they're with the Lord Jesus Christ right now.
Yeah.
They're not in suffering. They're in joy.
Yeah.
And they're awaiting, like we are, the rapture. And so although we grieve when our spouse dies, when our parents die, when our children die, if these things happen, we go through great grief, but not like the unbeliever grieves.
Right. So they were wondering about what would happen to the people who died before Jesus came back. And here's what Paul says. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus.
Okay, now, basically what Paul is saying here, and I think what Martin is basically saying is belief that I'm going to be raptured if I'm alive at the time of the rapture, or I'll be raptured even if I'm not alive, because the dead in Christ will rise first, Paul
right.
goes on to say. If I believe that, is that the same as believing in Jesus for everlasting life? And my point would be yes, as long as, and then we'll go to John 11 in a second.
Okay.
As long as it's not, there are people who say, I believe in the rapture. I know it's going to happen. I just don't know if I'll be raptured.
Okay.
Because I don't know if I'm a true believer. Only the true believers get raptured. And in order to know you're a true believer, you've got to persevere in faith and good works until you die.
Okay.
Well, that's not believing the promise of John 3:16 or John 11:25-27. It's the same way as someone says, Well, I know eternal security is true. It's just the only people who are eternally secure are those who persevere in faith and good works, and I don't know if I'm going to persevere in faith and good works, so I don't know if I'm born again. Well, that kind of thinking is not believing the promise of everlasting life. That's changing whoever believes in him to whoever behaves in him in John 3:16.
Sure.
But if in 1 Thess chapter 4 and verse 14, if the person believes, what does he say
that
here?
That Jesus died and rose again.
Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. If I'm convinced that my believing loved ones will be brought at the time of the rapture, and I'm convinced that I myself am going to spend eternity with the Lord, and that's going to begin with, well, of course, it begins at the moment of faith, but in terms of being in his presence, it begins with the rapture, then yes, that's the same as John 11. And let's look at John 11, 25 through 27. You got something else about this?
Well, I do. I have a follow-up question of 1 Thess, what Paul is talking
about
there.
Well, let's stay here then for a minute.
Okay, well then I was just wondering, maybe some people think, is Paul saying here that to be raptured, you need to believe that Jesus died and rose again? Is that what Paul is saying here? Or is that an additional belief?
No, I would say we're not going to believe in the rapture unless we believe that both Jesus died and that he rose again.
But is that something you need to believe to be raptured? Is that what Paul is saying? If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then God will bring with him those who sleep
in Jesus.
Okay,
I see what you're saying. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus.
Or is Paul not really stating a condition to be raptured? He's just saying, hey, guys, think about the resurrection and what that means. And here's how that applies to
the
situation.
That's what I think he's saying. Yeah. Notice the second half of this doesn't repeat the part about, even so God will bring with him those who believe that Jesus died and rose again.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that. He says, even so, God will bring them those who sleep in Jesus.
Okay.
So the issue is those who sleep in Jesus. Okay, that raises another question. Is it hypothetically possible that a person could come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him for everlasting life and yet not believe in the rapture? Well,
right.
Of course.
Sure, sure.
Of course,
absolutely.
They might not. Now, could they hypothetically not believe that Jesus died and rose again? Well, we've talked about this before. Hypothetically, they could because the apostles fell in that category, right?
Right, for a time anyways.
And Nicodemus and the woman at the well, there were lots of people who didn't know that Jesus was going to die and rise again, but yet they were born again.
And now all those people came to believe that Jesus died and rose again after it happened, you know, a couple of years later.
Right. And during the church age, it seems that people come to faith in Jesus for everlasting life through his death and resurrection. In other words, by believing that he died and rose again, that leads me to believe in the promise of John 3:16.
I mean, that's why all these apologists like John Warwick Montgomery or Lee Strobel or Wallace.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All great books, all are arguing, this is true. Jesus died and rose again. This is how you can know this is true.
Right. Who Moved the Stone by Morrison, a book on apologetics. And all of that leads us to believe the promise of everlasting life. But it's misleading to say, if you believe Jesus died and rose again, then you're born again. Because it's possible to believe that Jesus died and rose again and yet believe in work salvation. And work salvation doesn't say.
Right. All right, so let's go back to John 11.
All right.
Here's what Jesus says to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she says, yes, Lord, I believe.
Right. It's important to recognize here that Jesus is making a compound I am statement. I think of John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is he saying one thing or three things there?
He's saying three things, but it's all kind of,
it's all related.
A new identity. Yeah.
But he is the way, he's the truth, he's the life.
Yeah.
He is everlasting. Now here he has also the life in here.
Mm-hmm.
I am the resurrection and the life. Now, is he saying one thing or two things? A lot of people think he's saying one thing.
Okay.
And that resurrection and life is, like you could say, I'm good and mad.
Okay.
Well, that doesn't mean two things. That means I'm very mad.
Right.
So some people think that I am the resurrection and the life means something like I'm the resurrection life. And when he goes on, after he says, I am the resurrection and the life, He then says, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way I used to understand that was talking about, though he may die, he is going to live spiritually. This is another way of the promise of everlasting life.
Okay.
And then the second half, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, that's also the promise of everlasting life. And then one day I was at a funeral. Zane Hodges was preaching a funeral service for a member of our church,
mm-hmm.
and he preached on this passage. And he said, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he then explained what he meant by I am the resurrection in the second half of verse 25. And in the first half of verse 26, he explained what he meant by I am the life. As the resurrection, he said, he who believes in me, though he may die physically, yet he shall live physically. This is the promise of resurrection.
Mm.
And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, why have I never seen that? It makes perfect sense that he's talking about resurrection.
Okay.
And then in the next first half of 26, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. He's now explaining as the life, if you believe in me, you have everlasting life. And another way of saying that is you will never die spiritually.
Okay.
And so is John 11, 25b, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Is that roughly the same as the rapture? Yes. But now there's no hint here this takes place at the time of the rapture.
This is about resurrection, but when do dead believers get resurrected?
This passage doesn't tell us. But
we know it happens at the time of the rapture.
Exactly.
So I see. So the rapture is kind of implied here.
Right.
Okay. Very interesting.
So let's say someone was convinced that by faith in Jesus, they were going to be raised with a resurrection body to spend eternity in Jesus' kingdom. Would they be born again even if they didn't know the expression everlasting life?
I would say yeah.
Yeah, even if they didn't know the expression eternal security?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or once saved, always saved?
Sure.
Because they're believing that concept that he's going to raise me into his kingdom.
Right, it's forever.
Right.
You know you're going to spend forever with Jesus, forever with God. Thanks, Martin, for the email. And if you want to send us an email with your question, send it to radio@faithalone.org, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.